chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm excited to have Sonia Jackson Miles on the show today. Sonia is a former executive for Procter & Gamble, Ford Motor Company, and Gillette. She is the founder and CEO of the Accord Group, which is a leadership development, executive coaching, employee engagement, branding, and diversity consultancy. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Sonia, I am so excited about spending this time with you today. We have our really mutual dear friend, Jim Pechtold, to thank. We both love Jim. He's an amazing connector, isn't he?
Absolutely. Shout out to Jim. And I am so honored to be here with you today.
Well, we've got so much to talk about. And when Jim connected us, he said, the two of you need to know one another. Yes. Because you are kindred spirits.
Yes.
As I've learned more about you, he was definitely right. So we have a lot of the same values, same interests, same dreams for the world.
Yeah.
I can't wait to dig in. Tell me a little bit about how you grew up. And there's something funny. If you don't say it, I will. So you go ahead and tell me a little bit about how you grew up.
Oh, my goodness. Lisa, I just really love you. I love everything that you stand for. And I love how Jim connects me with people where we have heart exchanges. So I am so thankful for that. So I grew up as the youngest of four. And my siblings are 11, 12, and 13 years older than I am. So in a sense, I had three mothers and two fathers.
That's what I wanted you to say. Yes.
Because, you know, I was like, can I do anything, you know, without someone getting in my quote unquote business? And now I'm so thankful that they were in my business. But back then, oh, they just drove me crazy, right? And so I really had this thing where I wanted to create my own path. I am so thankful for every experience that I had growing up, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. God used it to help me bring forth the dreams and bring forth all of the things that I am doing today to serve others. And so I'm thankful for it, even though it was painful sometimes. I'm thankful for it.
Yes, I completely agree. Well, now I know you went on to work for the Ford Motor Company. You were there for 13 years. You went and worked for Gillette. You've worked for some amazing companies. And like I said, P&G. And at the end of that, you were the director of global packaging and purchasing, and you were managing $6 billion in spend.
Yeah.
I think you even did that, you know, even bigger than that, $20 billion at one point. What was your education background? And did you have an idea that you wanted to work for a company like this? I mean, tell me that story.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting when I sit and really think about my journey, because I always thought that I would be in corporate America until I retired. I never had a dream of being an entrepreneur. That was never part of my consideration set. And as a matter of fact, I was scared of it. So I ran from it for many years. But I started my career after getting my MBA at Florida A&M University. So I studied both undergrad and grad school at Florida A&M and really studied marketing. And so it was so interesting that at the time I was coming out of school, I think I'm 25.
Well, you look like you're 25, so yeah.
That's why I love you. That's why I love you. And so, you know, as I was coming out of school, all of the marketing career pathways, you had to start in sales. And I knew that sales wasn't exactly what I wanted at the time. And so literally, I remember like it was yesterday, I'm in the career center at Florida A&M, and this gentleman, Craig Schatzer, comes up to me and says, "Hey, have you ever considered a career in purchasing?" And I said, "I've never heard of that before. What is that?" And as he was describing it to me, I said, "Listen, I like to buy stuff. I'm really good with that. Help me understand how that translates into value for a corporation." And as he's talking, Craig is like blowing my mind because I'd never heard of purchasing before. And I knew that was it. That was it for me. And so I started my career at Ford Motor Company in purchasing. I did one stint in HR and then went to the Gillette Company. And then Procter & Gamble acquired Gillette shortly after I had uprooted the family and moved to Boston. And so I led part of the integration of Gillette into P&G and led the design of the global media sourcing organization.
Oh, so incredible.
A little girl from Saginaw, Michigan, having the opportunity to literally design the global media sourcing organization for the largest advertiser in the world. So my responsibility at the time was over $7 billion.
Thank goodness for those counselors and those people that speak into us. You had never even heard of that, but somebody said, "Hey, this could be something that would be of interest to you." And I will tell you, that is a common thread. If I go back and analyze the guests that we've had on the show, that is a common thread. Many times there was somebody that spoke in to that leader that they did not even see in themselves.
Exactly.
And so, you know what that does for me? I just say, I've got to do that for other people.
Absolutely. We have to speak that life. And what I'm saying to everyone right now, all of my clients, all of my mentees, everyone, family, friends, watch your language. Language matters. Words matter right now. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of darkness. There's so much going on, right?
Yes.
We can find ourselves being pulled in and sucked into dysfunctional conversations because of language.
Yes.
And so I'm asking people to not do that, especially on social media. You can find yourself arguing with someone, you don't know them, they don't know you, and you're arguing about something that at the end of the day doesn't really matter. And so I'm asking people to lead with love and do the heart work, which is the hard work, so that we can really erase all of these terrible things and eradicate all these terrible things that we see each and every day.
Well, I tell you what, that kind of brings me into, you had an incredibly successful career, but you had the courage to step out and you started what it's called a movement. And you've got a book and it's called The Sister Accord, 51 Ways to Love Your Sister.
Yeah.
The promise that will transform your life. And I'm going to read a little something here because it is a movement, the making of a movement. You say, after people have read The Sister Accord, oftentimes they'll say, "This is so beautiful. You know, what made you write this?" And you said, "I am in awe with how God has blessed The Sister Accord and with how many people it has touched all around the world. The internet can be a powerful tool for good." And you said you had a dream. Tell our listeners about the dream, and then we will get into The Sister Accord is huge. There's so much to talk about there.
So it's so interesting because everyone wants to know, how did you come up with this? I oftentimes will say to folks, that thing that's burning inside of you that you really, really care about is 9 out of 10 times connected to your purpose, to your assignment. So get this. I worked for these amazing companies. At every single company, I had a mentee from every continent with the exception of Antarctica. And I started to watch patterns, Lisa. And I started to ask myself, what is going on? My male mentees would come to me and say, "Oh, Sonia, I've got this amazing business idea. I need you to help me flesh it out. I need to just sit with you." My female mentees were always saying, "You know, I'm really struggling with Tina. Yeah, I don't like working for Ann. Eh, I don't want to work for women. I mean, it was always negative and it was always connected to the relationship or lack thereof." And I said, how are we going to get to the C-suite? How are we going to get to the boardroom if we're more concerned about someone looking like us who's stabbing us in the back versus being able to really focus on the business and unleash our creativity?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what is the solution? So I prayed about it. I go to sleep and I see the sister court in my dream. I mean, I see stadiums. I see everything that we have put together. I literally saw it, got up, wrote it down. I keep a journal and I ask everyone, keep a journal. So I write everything down in this journal and I start to say, what do I do with this? And that was the beginning of the sister accord. And it's this notion that if I can get girls and women to truly love themselves, I'm not talking about all this false stuff, all this stuff we see oftentimes in the media. I'm talking about true love that goes deep. Then you're not looking to the left or the right and comparing. Comparison is the enemy of joy. You will always see someone cuter and thinner and all this other false stuff that we really think is important that's not.
Right.
So we have to set that aside and really focus on how do I get to my next level of excellence? Okay, I've gotten there. Now, how do I get to my next level of excellence? That is what we're pursuing. We are not trying to take each other out. We're not trying to compete because at the end of the day, getting to that next level of excellence for ourselves is really what matters. When you focus on that, everything else falls into place. And I wanted to bring that into the workplace and into schools. And that's what we're doing with the Sister Accord.
I love it. Well, you know what? I'm so glad you brought up excellence because there's something written about you here. And it says, you don't compete against other people. You compete for the next level of excellence. It's something that you have always done. At Ford, you were the first woman to be promoted while on maternity leave, and you initiated programs for women to support one another. You were responsible for $4.3 billion budget. It won the Leading the Way Award for your leadership when you were at P&G. I mean, it is amazing. What is your personal mantra?
There's always a seat at the table for excellence. Focus on being excellent.
Yes.
You know, if you're coming halfway, if you're not making sure that you're paying attention to the details, then you may have some work to do. But when you operate in excellence consistently over and over and over again, there will be a seat at the table. Now, in some instances, you may have to create the table, right?
Right.
You may have to expand the table. You may have to go to another table. But there's always a seat at the table for excellence.
Absolutely. Well, I know I've been asked that question before. You've probably been asked the question, how is it being a female in such a male dominated? And I said, you know what? It's never been an issue really for me.
Yeah.
Because I said, as long as you are bringing competence and excellence to the table, there's always a seat there. Aarti Sharma, a dear friend of mine, she's an EVP at MasterCard. Her quote is, don't build a higher fence, just build a longer table.
Yes.
And so to your point, I do believe that women, girls, oftentimes are socialized to compete with each other. And what I think about is it is a scarcity mentality versus an abundance mentality. We have got to be linking arms and lifting one another up, not shooting each other down.
That's right. Absolutely. And you know, we see it oftentimes. And one example that I use is who wore it best. You know that. You see that in the magazines, right? Do you see them put two men next to each other?
Never.
They're putting two women because they're always, you know, we always have to choose. One is cuter. One is thinner. One is this. One is that. And so it's always this competition. It's always this negativity associated with it. Instead of being able to say, hey, they're both amazing. They're both beautiful, right? And so the socialization starts early. I mean, little girls start to see these images and think, oh, well, I'm not pretty if I don't look like that, or I'm not worthy if I don't look like that, or if I'm not saying that. And bullying, we know, starts as early as the age of 4. And I said, how can you be a baby in bullying? Like, you're a baby at 4. But see how it can all just seep in to the mind? And so what we have to do and what the Sister Accord is it's a disruptor. So I like to always talk about the physics theorem. An object that's in motion stays in motion until something disrupts it. Think about this. It's never addressed in elementary school. It's never addressed in middle school. It's never addressed in high school. It's not addressed in college. We get to the workplace and we're bringing all this baggage. And so we retrain our brain with exercises, and the work that we do in the Sister Accord family at all the events and all the curriculum is about, we reframe things. And as you said, this abundance mindset says that there's always enough. And so we don't focus on win-lose, we focus on win-win. And when you do that, you will say, what can I do to serve you? Like Lisa, when I first met you, I was like, what can I do to serve you? What can I do to help you go to your next level of excellence? Well, until you do the work on yourself, you really can't get to that place of really just seeing your sister as an extension of yourself. And so I really believe that all of the things that we're seeing, all of the hate that we're seeing today, if everyone adopts the work that we do, and it's a daily thing, listen, it's hard. Sometimes people get on your nerves, right? But we have to adopt this way of thinking because it's a choice. And when we do this, man, think about the balance, how we'll come and balance the world with love.
It's all about love. That's what I told you. I said, if I had to sum it up, it's about loving yourself and loving others, you know? So Sonia, we've got so much more to talk about, but we do need to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with Sonia Jackson Miles.
We at Technology Partners understand the difficulty to find work that is engaging, yields high pay, and facilitates a work-life balance. Over the past 25 years, we have enhanced the IT teams of over 244 client companies and placed more than 3,000 IT professionals with them on short-term or permanent basis. Our staff includes over 300 experienced IT professionals. So if you're looking to take the next step in your career, visit jobs.technologypartners.net, apply for a job, and one of our expert recruiters will be happy to connect with you.
So welcome back, everyone. Sonia, we've got so much to talk about with the Sister Accord. And you and I were just talking, there are so many elements here. You've got the Sister Accord leadership development that's now in the Cincinnati Public Schools.
Yeah.
And I think New York too, which is amazing. But start unpacking this for us. And what I really want our listeners to go with is a sense of urgency. How can we keep this movement going?
Yeah. So as I left Procter and Gamble in late 2013, it doesn't even seem real, I started with the foundation first, the 501c3. And I wanted to make sure that I was clear about what does this movement stand for?
Yes.
So we have three areas of focus: educating girls and women. We give scholarship. We just gave $15,000 more additional scholarships to three young women. So $5,000 each. We just announced that on the second anniversary of my mother going to heaven on June 10th. We are very serious about education. Education saves lives. It changes lives.
Yes.
And then enlightening girls and women of the power of sisterhood. So that's all of our events. We have a lot of different events, celebration of excellence, where we shine a light on women who are doing great things. We have our Sister Accord. Our signature program is our Sister Accord Tea Party. A leadership development tea party is a celebration of sisterhood. And the very first one that we held was in 2013. And the city of Cincinnati declared August 31st as Sister Accord Day. So we have a holiday that we celebrate. Women all around the world and men all around the world celebrate love and sisterhood on August 31st. And we ask people to perform a random act of kindness towards a female. It could be a stranger. It could be someone in their family. And then the third area is eradicating bullying and violence against girls and women. It is an epidemic. Let me just say, while we were dealing with the global pandemic with COVID, we were also dealing with increased incidences of domestic violence. And so those three areas were really important to me and the board. I established my board and we said, hey, these are the areas, these are the things that we're going to focus on. So having the Cincinnati Public School, I mean, one of the largest districts, right? They never had a leadership development program for girls. They had one for boys. And you know, Cincinnati is an old city. The Sister Accord being selected to be the curriculum. I mean, listen to this.
Amazing.
I left corporate America. I didn't have this background in education, right? I just did what God planted inside of me as he formed me in my mother's womb. All I did was write it in this journal and then brought it to life. And so starting with those three elements and the foundation then gave me the ability to think about what are all the things that I want to do from an LLC perspective. So then I started the LLC part of my business, and Sisterhood and Brotherhood in the Workplace platform was developed so that I could bring all of these things that I was talking about in the curriculum, I could bring them to life in the workplace so that we could really address the level of disengagement that happens.
Yes, changing the narrative. And guess what, Sonia? Every one of those that you are educating in the workplace, so many of them have children of their own. This is going to impact how they are speaking with their own children in the next generation.
That's right. And that's why the second book had to come out. So 51 Ways to Love Your Sister was the first book. The second book, 51 Ways to Love Your Children, so that we could heal these relationships between parents. You know, so many people would talk about the trauma that they experienced as children and how they bring that trauma into all these other aspects of their lives. Well, let's get to the root cause. I'm a root cause girl.
Yes.
51 Ways to Love Your Children was a very important aspect of that. And then we started using the book for family engagement in Cincinnati. So, I mean, literally, you see how it all came together? It's very well connected. So then the Pace University Schools in New York City, they started using the Sister Core curriculum. And get this. So I had written in my journal, my dream was, if we're going to eradicate bullying and violence against girls and women, and we know that 98% of domestic violence incidences are instigated by men, then how do we get this to the boys? Well, the Pace University School, they started giving it to the boys because they said, Sonia, your curriculum is not just for girls because you're talking about humanity. And so my platform is putting the human in humanity. These things that we're talking about are good for our boys to understand so that they know, hey, you don't have to hit. You don't have to be verbally, emotionally, physically abusive. You can use language.
Yes.
And you can do it in a way where it doesn't harm. And so they brought my dream to life without even knowing that it was my dream.
That's amazing. Your mission, that 1 billion girls will start to love themselves. 1 billion. There's almost 8 billion people on the planet.
I know.
I love this. You said one of your favorite quotes, which is a Steve Jobs quote, is the people that are crazy enough to change the world are the ones who do. And so, you know what? I do believe this movement, it can literally change the world.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's so many different aspects here because now we've talked about it getting into the schools, you know, you're bringing it to the workplace.
Yes.
Tell me about the shield, because you've got a shield and it's got, you know, 9 jewels on it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and selflessness, which you and I talked about from Galatians. That's the fruit of the Spirit. With the exception of the very last one. But you've got a shield. You guys have now got a jewelry line.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about these things, Sonia.
So let me now further extend and help people who want to really think about how do I start? How do I put together all of these different elements? Because the Sister Accord is a lifestyle brand. We literally want people to live the principles of the Sister Accord. And then we talk about, now that you have decided to live the principles of the Sister Accord, what's happening in your life? And so people are blown away. They're like, my life has changed. You saved my life. I mean, literally, people have said, I was going to take my life, came across the Sister Accord video on YouTube, and I put the bottle of pills down. I have so many text messages and emails where people have literally said, you've saved my life. You've transformed my life. And so we know that we have a winning formula for healing. We know that everything that we've put together really at the end of the day is all about living your best life now with a sense of urgency. And so I wanted people to have things that they could use every day. And that's why the jewelry line was so important, because people exchange these. They buy them, they give them, hey, I want to give my sister some joy. So they'll buy the joy bracelet. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and selflessness. And then the sister course. So we have 10 charms. People buy them for each other. It's been amazing. And so I wanted to make sure. So we have the t-shirts. We have things that people can literally put on. So I wanted a fragrance. And so this year we designed and developed a luxury custom design fragrance called Sister Sister. I wanted people to put on, it's a personal fragrance. It's for you. It's not for anyone else. It's for you. And people have said, I am wearing it to bed. It's so powerful. It makes me feel so peaceful. I'm wearing it to bed. So everything that we've put together, and I partner with amazing women, again, everything is about health and well-being. Everything is about coming together peacefully. Go where the love is and understand, what does it mean to have peace that passes all understanding? My grandmother used to say that. That is the way that we can get to living our best lives. So all of these things, the books, all of the things that we do is all about giving people some tools that they can use each and every day. People say, hey, I wake up and Sister Court book is on my night table. And I just say, all right, today, this is the way that I'm going to focus on just giving some love today, being kind, giving someone a compliment. All of these things are just reminders of how to live our best lives.
So there's two things I love about what you just said, Sonia, the bracelets, the jewelry, the shirt. We're putting them on love, joy, peace. We're putting on a different kind of attire for that day. The second thing I love about that is I think we are visual people and we need visual reminders. And so I love it all. Now, I know the Gerber daisy is kind of your flower.
Yes.
And I love Gerber daisies. I give Gerber daisies like in the multitude of colors. Why did you choose that flower?
First and foremost, we are more alike than we are different. We have bought into these narratives that try to separate us. We have 100 billion neurons in our brain. And so how do we really choose love? What are those representations? And so the diversity of the Gerber daisy was what really attracted me to the flower. I love flowers. And you see how the leaves, they're right on top of each other. They're supporting each other. I mean, get that.
I never thought about that before, but I love it.
And then, you know, they just open up. And what I really want people to do is open up to the infinite possibilities for our lives and our relationships. We can get into a mode of judging. And I remember so many people saying, you know, when I first saw you, I was thinking this about you, but you're really very kind. So this flower and what it represents, it's like, put all that stuff aside. And that's what we do with our tea parties. We bring people into, and of course, this was pre-COVID, we bring people into very beautiful spaces. Like when they walk into the room, Lisa, they're like, wow, is this for me? Women, right? They walk in and everything is beautiful. They have all these beautiful gifts and everything. And it is all about helping people understand that we have to set aside all of the foolishness, all of the things that we have bought into, all of the mean girl behavior. So I wanted to provide a different narrative. And I know, you know, negative things sell, but the consistency of what we're doing and how we are literally changing the narrative on how girls and women interact with each other, we're setting up what is going to happen for our children's children's children in a way that is mind-blowing every time I think about it. It's legacy building. And so the Gerber daisy just represented all of that hope. And so I'm just so excited about what it represents and that people can connect to. Because like you said, a lot of times people will say men are visual. No, we're all visual. And so having these reminders of what this is really about and how we want to live our lives is really at the end of the day, the way that I structured my company.
I love it, Sonia. I love it. I love it. I love it. But I have to ask you, this is something extra. Sonia, what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
Everyone keeps telling me that I need to write, this needs to be my next book. So it may be, but we are so busy, We're pulled in so many different directions, and COVID made us sit down. I think that break is what all of our bodies, mind, body, and souls needed. And so I have something that I created called the power of the pause, because as people are engaging, I would say, when you ask someone, how are they doing? First of all, they'll probably say, oh, I'm great. And then you pause and say, no, how are you really doing? And a lot of times when you ask that second question, people will open up, they'll breathe, right? And they'll be able to really say, well, you know, this morning was rough. Stay long enough and stay engaged long enough to actually hear the answer. And so I call this the power of the pause. And I had to do this because I had a tendency of moving really fast and this and that and the other. And I was leaving people behind. One of my leaders said, Sonia, you know, a lot of times people aren't, they're trying to catch up to you. And I said, ah, let me pause. And so the power of the pause is an acronym. The P is for patient. A is adaptable. U is understanding. S is sensible. And E, empathetic. And so that's something extra, is taking the time to be patient. A lot of times we're just going, going, going. What does that look like for you to just pause for a moment and breathe and take 5 to 7 deep breaths? What does that do for the good chemicals in our brain? And adaptable, you know, just being flexible. So many times we're so rigid. Well, we can't do that. Well, why can't we? And I think because I'm the youngest of four, I have always said, why can't we? I cannot accept, no, we can't do that. Like, there's always a way. Now, we don't break laws, but there's always a way. You have to open up your mind to those infinite possibilities. You as understanding, taking the time to really understand someone else's position. I was so concerned, if someone disagrees with you, then you're canceled. Like, where'd that come from? And why did we buy into it? We need to communicate. We need to understand that not everyone thinks alike, and that's okay. The S for sensible, my grandmother used to say, common sense is not common.
That's good.
And so a lot of times we have to just pause to say, now, does that make sense? Does that really, at the end of the day, make sense? And so we have to ask those questions. And then E, empathy. Empathy is one of the most important aspects of emotional intelligence. And I just ask everyone to just build that empathetic skill. I have my arm up and, you know, build that muscle. You know, we have to do that.
I love that. I love the acronym.
Yeah, there's power in it.
Yeah, there's power. But Sonia, I want to give you the opportunity to tell our listeners anything that you want to talk about and how they can get involved.
Thank you so much. Right now, what we're focused on is being able to raise funds for our foundation. It takes a lot of money to operate in excellence. Like, we don't half step on anything. Everything has to be done with excellence. And so we moved to virtual. And believe it or not, virtual is expensive if you operate in excellence, right? And so we are raising funds for the Sister Corps Foundation. So we are looking for new sponsors and looking for people who will come and who believe in this investment. The return on investment is really high. And so we're going to get back to in-person events. This year, Sister Accord Day on August 31st will still be a virtual event, but we will get back to our in-person events. And so coming to different cities around the country and then globe, because we've been asked to take the Sister Accord tea parties on the road. So we plan to do that. So I would love to have, you know, additional sponsors and folks who will donate to the Sister Accord Foundation. TheSisterAccord.com is our website, and you'll see the foundation tab and page on there and ways to donate. But that's the biggest focus for us right now, is raising funds to give more scholarships and to be able to really drive to getting to that 1 billion.
That's awesome. Well, Sonia, this has just been so delightful. You and I literally could talk for like hours and hours.
I know.
But thank you again so much for making the time to be on the show. I know that our listeners are going to be inspired by hearing your story and hopefully be encouraged to take action.
Yes.
We can all do something.
Absolutely. And again, thank you for being so amazing and for everything that you do to serve with excellence. I am so thankful for our connection. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim.
Yes. Thank you, Jim Bechtold. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.